All right, today we're going to continue our series called Healthy Church. And some of the things we talked about last week, the first thing we said was healthy doesn't equal perfect. Has anybody ever been to a perfect church?
No.
No, you're not in one either. So, that's just a fact of life, that there are no perfect churches because there's no perfect people. You know, if you had a perfect church and I walked in the door, I just messed it all up, you know. And so does not equal perfect. We're not looking to make the perfect church. All right. This church isn't for everybody. You know, I believe that God made a wide variety of people. And that's why we have a wide variety of different kinds of churches. And I thank God for all the different kinds of churches. You know, but this is where God wants me to be and my family. So this is where we are because, you know, this is where we fit in. But, you know, healthy doesn't equal perfect. What we're looking at when we're talking about healthy is something that is functioning well, or it's tending towards health. They're doing things to reach and you know, to become healthy. And so that's what we're looking at in this this series that we're doing is healthy churches. Like, we want to be functioning well and doing things that tend towards health. All right. Now, how many of y'all want to be healthy? Anybody? We all want to be healthy. Nobody wants to be sick. Nobody wants that. And so the same thing as in our churches. Like, we want to have a healthy church, right? All right. And so, you know, we said last week that healthy church has healthy people. A healthy church has healthy people. And so we looked in Ephesians chapter 4 about what Paul talked about being a healthy Christian and what that looked like. And we're not going to jump into all of that. You can go back and you can listen to that on our website. But I did want to say this, is that as we're talking about healthy Christians, you know, like I said, we're not talking about perfect, because we're never going to reach perfection until we get to heaven. But we need to be on the road to becoming more like Christ. And that's kind of the goal of what we need to do. You know, a lot of people get saved and they just don't do anything else with their life. You know, they just stay right there at the cross. But God has this whole life that He has for us, that He wants us to live. So getting saved is just the beginning. And we need to be working on living a healthy life. But one thing that I want to bring up from last week is, like, you know, we need to be progressing to be more like Christ. We should be doing things that make us more and more like Him. And so, you know, that's what we talked about last week, a very rough overview of it. Like I said, you can go to our website and listen to all of our past sermons at believerscommunity.org, and we encourage you to do that. But today I want to continue this, and this one kind of builds on last week. Healthy church has healthy roles. A healthy church has healthy roles. See, I believe that we all have a part to play in the church. And I'm not just talking about Believers Community Church. I'm talking about the church that Christ set up over 2,000 years ago. We all have a part to play. Nobody is meant to just come and be. You know, Christianity is about action. It's about doing something. The Bible says faith without works is dead. If you're not doing anything with your faith, then your faith is useless. It's not accomplishing anything. And so I want to look today at what the roles in the church should look like. In a typical church in America, you have the pastor that does the ministry. You know, the pastor's there to minister to the people. The members are there to receive from the ministry. All right, that's typically the way a church is kind of structured. And that makes the members become consumers in this situation. And we were never meant to be just consumers. Because when you become a consumer, all of a sudden you become a shopper and you start shopping for the perfect church. And you start looking around. But I believe that, you know, we get caught up in our consumer mentality here in America because everybody's trying to advertise to us, trying to get us to buy their product, to come to their store, to do this thing. And we get so used to being catered to that we think church should be the same way. But see, if we truly understand the roles in the church is that we are all to be giving to the church. We all need to be serving. We all need to be doing something and not just consuming. Now, I think there's times that we need to consume. There's times that we need to be ministered to. There's times that we need refreshing and encouragement. I understand that. It's a part of the process. But you should be giving more than you're receiving. My personal opinion. And so, you know, that's the typical church setup, is the pastor, the leadership, they do the ministry and the people come and they receive the ministry, and that's church. But I'm glad that I go to a church that they know how to, and we love to serve. Amen? Y'all like to serve? I believe that's in our DNA of our church is serving. You know, we'll put on an event, and I mean, you guys will just show up like crazy and just blow it out the door. I mean, anytime we have an event, harvest party or whatever, I mean, you guys show up and y'all work and y'all make it great. And I love that. But I still don't think we get the full vision of the roles that we're supposed to be playing in the church. It's great that we show up for events, for the special thing. But what are we doing Monday through Saturday in serving the church, in playing our part in the church? What are we doing when we leave this building? See, we are to be more of the church out there than we are to be in here. Yeah, the pastor's job is to do the ministry, but it's your job to do the ministry as well. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look in Ephesians chapter 4 again. This is where we're basing this whole series, Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to read this to you. It's Paul talking to Ephesus and kind of setting up the groundwork for what the church is supposed to look like. It says, "Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers." We're just going to call that the church leadership. The people who are God has placed as authority over the church. So their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, how many of y'all have reached the full and complete standard of Christ? Anybody? No, none of us have yet. And so we have some work to do here. We have some work to do here. Verse 14, it says, "Then we will no longer be immature like children." Going back to what we talked about last week, a healthy church has healthy people in it. We need to no longer be immature so that we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of this body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body will be healthy and growing and full of love. And see, this is what we're striving for as a church. This verse 16, where it talks about everybody's doing its own special work so that the whole body is healthy, is growing, and full of love. How many of y'all want to go to a church that's healthy, growing, and full of love? Everybody does. Everybody does. Everybody's looking for that church that when they walk in the door, that they feel like they're actually, people are glad that they're there. That people actually care that they're there. That they feel that acceptance and that love when they walk in the door. See, there's so many unhealthy churches that you can walk into and it's just like everybody ignores you and you're just like, okay. Just like this sterile, you know, holy, you know, church, you know. I think we're missing it. See, I think if you hung out with Jesus, it's going to be completely different than what you would hanging out in a church. Amen. And the church is supposed to be that reflection of Christ. And so in this thing that Paul's setting up here, he says that the pastors, the leaders, the people in charge of the church, they're there to equip, to build up, and to encourage. And he said the members here are there to do his work. Or as another translation says, the work of the ministry. Now, how many of y'all feel like you can do the work of the ministry right now? Anybody? Anybody ready? That's scary. That scares most people thinking, I'm supposed to do the work of the ministry? I can just barely read my Bible. You know, I can't quit cussing. You know, I mean, come on, and I'm supposed to do the work of the ministry? What's going on here? But see, we have a wrong perception of what the work of the ministry is as well. See, if you look up this word ministry in the Bible, it literally means to wait tables or to serve people. Now, we're all capable of serving people. So that's what Christ did when he came. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's what he's wanting for us. That is what the work of the ministry is. See, we're not looking for perfection. So many people will never step into their calling because they don't think that they're ready, that they don't think they're good enough, that they're not strong enough Christian to do it yet. And it paralyzes them. And I'm here to tell you that there's no point in your Christian life to where you like cross this line and be like, okay, I'm ready now. There's never that point in your life where you feel ready for what God's called you to do. Because I know I don't feel ready to do what God's calling me to do. See, if you know me, you know that this right here is not me. I'm not outgoing. I don't easily talk to people in public like this. And if you knew me as a kid, you'd really be like, what in the world? You're doing what now? Because if you know my daughter, Ella, you know, you go up to talk to her and she like hides behind you and she won't look at you. That was me. That's who I was. I'm talking about all the way up through teenager. I feel more comfortable in a room alone than I do a room full of people. And so there was never any point in my life, in my Christian walks, was that, okay, I'm ready now. I just said, okay, God, this is what you call me to do. Let's do it. And see, I think that's kind of the point, is that God's going to call us to do something that we can't do. Because if we can do it, then we're not doing it for Him. We're not doing ministry. See, we have to depend on Him to do what He's called us to do. Because if we did it on our own, we would fail. I'm a horrible public speaker. I've literally tried to like give speeches, and it's horrible. I mean, just awful. And so when I stand up here, it's not in my power. It's not in my strength. It's not in my skills. It's all about Him. It's all Him working through me. And see, this is what we've got to realize, that when we step out to do ministry, that it's not you doing it. If you got to depend on the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and to give you what you need to be able to do it. You're never going to feel qualified to do ministry, because I don't. But I do it anyway, because this is what God's called me to. And see, this is the attitude that we need to take in approaching this, is that we are all called to be ministers. Now, we're not all called to stand on the stage and speak. And you're like, thank the Lord, because I don't want to do that. And that's fine, because that's not what you're called to do. See, ministry is not standing up, talking in front of people. Ministry is serving people. In whatever capacity that looks like in your life. See, I believe that God has given us all gifts and talents and passions. And that we're to use those for the glory of God. Amen. We need to use those to serve other people. Amen. And that's what ministry is. See, some of you people are great counselors. You might not even have a degree, but man, people come to you and talk to you. They like, man... There's some people that just naturally people go to talk about their problems. Man, maybe that's a gift God's placed in your life. Use that for His glory. There's some people that can cook. Can I get a witness? Some people's spiritual gift is cooking. And part of my spiritual gift is eating. And so we need to get together. And we can serve the Lord together. See, ministry doesn't all look the same. It's not supposed to look the same. But see, in this setup that Paul's talking about, it says the leadership, the church leadership is there to equip, to build up, and to encourage. It's the member's job to go and do his work. See, I got a couple of illustrations here, and they just all happen to be kind of sports related. So that's the way God speaks to me in sports. And so, but see, the church, the pastor is kind of like the coach. All right? And the members are supposed to be the players. Now, there's lots of college football played last night or yesterday, and I never once saw a coach score a touchdown. Coach never made the big sack. He didn't throw the pass. The coach didn't do any of that. What was he there to do? He was there to instruct, to encourage, to cuss some people out, I'm sure. You know, that's not a spiritual gift, by the way, cussing people out, just in case you're wondering. but he was there on the sidelines, and he was doing his job from the sidelines. And it was the people, it was the players making all the plays. It was the people on the field doing it all. And I believe that's what the church is supposed to look like, is that the leadership is there to equip, to encourage, to teach, to get you ready to go out on the field and do what God's called you to do. Amen. See, I believe most of the ministry should happen Monday through Saturday outside of the church walls. Now, I believe we all have a part to play within the church, and we got a part to play outside the church, and we're going to talk about that in a few weeks. But most of us are not called to do ministry inside the church. Now, I believe if you have a passion for kids, get into Kids Turn. If you have a passion for teenagers, please come help me in U-Turn. If you love babies, man, we've got a nursery over there. You can love on all kinds of babies in there. If you're just happy to see somebody, man, we'll put you out there on the first impressions team. If you don't like people, we have a church that you can clean. I'm going to get myself in trouble today. I can already tell. But if you're not a people person, there's jobs that you can do there as well. I believe we all have a part to play. I didn't mean that. I love you. Okay, let's go on the next. boxing. How many boxing fans we got out there? Anybody? A few boxing fans. All right. See, I believe the church, the weekend service should be like, you know, you get out there and you box, and then the bell rings and you can go sit down in the corner. And you get to rest for a second. You got the coach over there. He squirts some water in your mouth and wipes the blood off. And says, all right, you know, when he punches, you got to block that, okay? You know, and you know, gives you little instructions, encourages you. So, man, you can do this, man. Just make it one more round and we've got this thing. And I believe that's what the church should be on the weekends, is that you come to church and we sit you down in the corner. We rub your shoulders a little bit. Man, you're doing good out there. Man, I mean, I saw you serving out there, and man, just keep going. You're doing great. And you know, we're here to help you out. And then we send you back out to go do what you're called to do. See, I believe this is the way the church is supposed to be set up. It's for you to come in and get equipped, get encouraged, to get to where you are ready to step out and do what God's called you to do. The last kind of illustration that came to my mind, this happened a few weeks ago, is, you know, we say around here, like, you know, the church should be like the hospital. It should be a place where the broken and hurting can come and receive treatment, to receive healing and encouragement. And it's not to be the country club, you know, where the saints come and hang out away from everybody else. And as I was thinking about that, you know, God kind of opened my mind to this. You know, when you go into the hospital, one of the first things you think about is the emergency room. You know, people come in there, they're hurt. You know, they need immediate attention. I believe the church needs to have the emergency room, that we're ready there to pray with people and to counsel with people and help them out, and, you know, in those crisis moments. You know, we need to have the maternity ward. know, where the babies are born. We need to have people being reborn through Christ, you know, in the church. We've got to have the rehab. You know, that's where, you know, you get injured and you build your body back up to get stronger, to be able to go do what you're supposed to do. You know, we need to have those intensive training moments to where we're readying ourselves, getting stronger, discipleship. We need to training for the ministry. You know, I think we need those regular hospital rooms, you know, where we come in, you know, and we can get our healing, you know, we can get encouraged and get refreshed and be able to get back out there. You know, you need your surgery place, you know, you need your ICU where it's that intensive help, you know, to where you can walk someone through some things. You know, we have Celebrate Recovery, you know, that helps people walk through a lot of life's issues. You know, we need those counseling. You got to have those places where you come and get checkups. You know, you're feeling good, but you need to come get checked up and make sure everything's okay. We need to have those good, strong Christian relationships to where we can bounce off of each other. We can hold each other accountable. We can work with each other, pray with each other. We need those things. And I believe that we're right, that the church needs to be like the hospital. But let me ask you something. Can the pastor do all of that himself? See, if we're relying on just a handful of people to do all of the work of the church, then we're going to severely limit the reach of the church. We're going to severely handicap. See, because we're just relying on the strength and whatever those people can do, and that's it. But see, we have a body of believers that are gifted. Y'all are talented. Y'all are full of God's calling, and you have passions in your life that you can step in and do some ministry, to serve some people. Amen. See, there's a stat out there that, you know, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And that's usually about right across the board for churches and just in, basically any kind of organization. You know, 20% of the people will do 80% of the work. What would it look like if 100% of the people did 100% of the work? What would it look like? See, when you only have 20% of the people doing stuff, you only get 80% of the work done. I think lots of times people look at a church and everything that's going on and say, they've got it under control. There's so much that God wants to use us for that we can't do, because not everybody's stepping in and doing their calling. See, just like it said in verse 16 a while ago, it says, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow so that it'll be a whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. See, one thing I think the church has done disservice in when it comes to people is that we put people into these cookie cutter ministry roles that they're not called to do. Because lots of times what happens is, you know, we'll stand up here and say, okay, we need help doing this. And people are like, well, I have time Saturday, so I can do that. But they don't care anything about that. They want to serve, they want to help, but that's not what's in their heart. See, instead of doing things like that, I believe that we need to be connecting passionate people with ministry opportunities where they can fulfill what's in their heart. I love that you guys come and you serve. But what's God put in your heart? What is it that breaks your heart? See, so many times people will come to us and say, you know, guys, you're doing this horribly. That's awful. You know, like, we need some help in the parking lot. I mean, that, you know, and people come with their complaints about what's going on in the church. Have you ever thought that maybe that you recognize that for a reason? Because maybe that's something that's in your heart that God wants you to do something about. See, we need to learn to follow the passions and the gifts and the talents that God's placed in our lives. Because I think a lot of people they see what God's put inside of them, and then they look at the church and say, there's no place for me to express this in the church. Well, maybe you're not supposed to express it in the church. That's hard for a pastor to say, because we want you to express those in the church. But what I'm saying is, one ministry that we support is Terry Roark Ministries. And we've supported her for years, and she goes into the prisons and ministers. She loves those men who are incarcerated. I mean, you know, we need some people loving on them men, because most people write them off. Most people just want to hang them. You know, where's the love and compassion in that? And so that's what's in her heart, is to minister to the people in prisons. And she loves it. But see, she doesn't go to this church anymore. They moved to Central Arkansas. But when she was in this church, she didn't work in the kids' ministry. She didn't keep the kids. She didn't. And that's okay, because her heart was in the prisons. Her passion was for those men in prison. And that's where she served. See, I believe that if we all play our part, then things will get taken care of. That God places it together just perfectly like He wants it. See, I think lots of times we'll see a need, and we want to complain instead of stepping up and filling the role or filling the hole. Because I know there's lots of you in here that see things about our church that you don't like. It's like, man, they're just not good at that. Well, maybe God's calling you to do something about that. Maybe God's saying, hey, you can fix this. See, in Acts chapter 6, we see this interesting little story that's kind of tucked in there. And as I read it, it kind of made me laugh. Don't you like it when the Bible makes you laugh? But it's just one of these little stories that's kind of stuck in there. And if you're reading your Bible, you'll read this and be like, okay, and just go on. You know, you won't put a lot of stock in, a lot of thought into it. But this is in the very beginnings of the church. Acts chapter 2, the church starts. And here we are in Acts chapter 6. You know, they're just trying to figure this thing out. I mean, this is brand new to them, and people are getting saved, and people are coming into the church. And it wasn't a church building they were coming into. They were the body of Christ. They were meeting in homes. They were just, you know, meeting wherever they could. They would eat together, and they were doing life together. And so Acts chapter 6, we see this issue arise. And as I read it, it made me laugh, because I'm thinking, yeah, this is church. You know, this is definitely a church issue, because it didn't have anything to do with theology. It didn't have anything to do with any ministry stuff. It was something completely different. Verse 1, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there was a rumbling of discontent. Anytime you get two or three people together, you're going to have rumblings of discontent, right? And so this is what was happening. The Greek-speaking believers complained that the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. All right, like I said, there's nothing to do with theology. I mean, these are the things that the church deals with. You know, it's those things that are not on stage necessarily, but it's the behind-the-scenes stuff going on. And so they come to the 12 with this problem, saying this is an issue. You know, we need to deal with this. And so verse 2, it says, so the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. And they said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word, not running a food program. Now, how many of you know people were offended by that statement? I could see, he thinks he's too good for that. They're just too good to run the food program. They're going to put that off on somebody else because it's not as important. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And so, brothers, elect 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. It says, we'll give them the responsibility. So then the apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching of the word. See, they were actually right for saying that. And I'll tell you why here in a second. Let's keep reading. Everyone liked this idea, and so they chose the following people: Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. And yes, I just made up how you say those. These seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed over them, and they laid their hands on them. So the message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted. And so here we see this situation. The church is growing, things are happening, and this discord happened in the, you know, within the church. And so they brought it to the leaders of the church and said, "What are we going to do about this?" All right? And so there's two ways they could have handled this. They could have been like, "Okay, we'll take over the program. We will make sure this happens right, and we will do it." And what would have happened? They would have taken over the program. Everything would have ran perfectly, just like they wanted it to. And everybody would have been happy. But what would have been sacrificed if they would have done that? See, their calling was to teach God's word. Their job was to teach the people. Their job was to minister, to encourage, to equip the believers. See, if they would have stepped away from that responsibility to go run the food program, yeah, the food program would have been great, but they would have slacked off on the teaching of God's word. Now, which one's more important? They're both important. They're both important. But the difference was they were called to do this and not that. So they were smart and they said, "I'm going to let y'all pick out seven men who are well respected. And we're going to put them in charge of this program." And so they went and they chose their seven men. And you know what happened? The food program worked out perfectly. They got to step into something they were called to do. And they fulfilled something in their life. The apostles got to do something they were called to do and fulfill a purpose in their life. See, I'm afraid so many times in church that when the leadership is responsible for everything, two things happen. Number one, the leadership quits fulfilling what they're called to do. And the ministry suffers. And number two, what happens is that they stop some other people from doing what they're called to do, and the ministry suffers. And so here we see this thing to where if we go by the model of what most churches do is the leadership doing the ministry and the people are there to receive the ministry, then I believe that we're severely limiting what the church is supposed to do. I think that we're messing up by doing that. Because this position right here is just as important as that position out there. Because we're all called to do the same thing. To serve people and show the love of God. What we do here on Sunday morning is no more important than what you do out there Monday through Saturday. It's just as important, if not more important. See, we've got to learn our role in the church. Because we're all called. We're all gifted. We all have passions that God's placed on the inside of us. See, we've got to, as each individual person, has got to find out what that is and ask God, "What do you want me to do with this? How can I use this for your glory? How can I use this for your kingdom? How can I use this to let other people know about you?" And see, I believe as we do this, we will see Ephesians 4:16 happen. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body will be healthy and growing and full of love. We need 100% doing 100%. But see, you're the only one that knows what you're supposed to be doing. And so I want to challenge you this week. I've got a prayer up here that I'm going to read to you, that I want all of you to pray. And I'll post it out on Facebook and that kind of stuff. But I believe that if we pray this with a true heart and listen to God, then I believe that you'll begin to step into some places that you never thought you would go. That you begin to do some things that you never thought you could do. And God will begin to use you in your life for His glory. Now, there's nothing special about this prayer. There's nothing magical. It's just something that God put in my heart. It says, God, reveal to me my purpose. The very reason you placed me here on this earth. Show me how you want me to use the gifts and the passions that you placed in me for your kingdom. I want to be used by you, God. Simple prayer.